Let's put a song so you can sing along with a special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you. Theme song, yeah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today is the rockin'est chick in the besties of the pod. It's Shady, everyone.
Hi, thank you. Lovely to be here.
You're so stoic. I feel like the tides have changed, and I'm Riff, and you're the principal.
Oh, I'm Kate. Oh.
Well, with that opening, hello, lovely to be here. You know, it was that's very much Miss Togar. Oh,
Miss Togar.
But we're jumping ahead. We're here today to talk about the 1979. Would you call this a cult classic?
Yes.
I just wanted to make sure, because I was like, this is a fun movie. It's rock and roll.
Yeah, it's Roger Corman. There's a good chance any Roger Corman movie has a cult following.
It's Rock and Roll High School. The screenplay is by Richard Whitley, Russ Devonch, and Joseph McBride. Directed by Alan Arkush and Joe Dante, who did some uncredited work. I don't know. I didn't really do that much research on this one. I'm so sorry, everyone. And then according to IMDb, Ramones fanatic and delinquent Riff Randall battles it out with the strict new principal of Vince Lombardi High School, Miss Togar, with the help of the Ramones. With help from the Ramones. Excuse me. Let me English right there. I've never seen this movie before. It's been on a list of mine to watch, and I think I had the DVD of it. I fucking love this movie.
Oh, this is one of my favorite movies. This was one that I first rented back in high school when I got my own Blockbuster card.
Ooh, look at you.
I could rent whatever movies I wanted. And at the time, I was like really getting into the Ramones. So I was like, oh, that's a movie with the Ramones. I should get it. And I watched it like conservatively twice a day every day until I had to return it, and then as soon as I could, I rented it again.
So this movie is very 70s in that films in the 70s, I realized, just start. There is no like easing your way into it or like a montage for the opening credits. It's just like, no, we're here, we're going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll figure it out, don't worry.
With that opening, I don't know, what's going on? Like, is it lunch? They're back from, I think they're back from like winter break or something, because it's set in January 1980.
Yeah, it seems like they just got back from a break. There's a freshman who is trying to figure out where he is and where he's trying to go.
The gay freshman. I loved him.
So at first I thought it was first day of school, but it's clearly not.
Yeah, that's weird. But then like, because when you look at her at Riff's notes, like when she sends in this illness or saying her parents died, so funny. The date is January like 13th or 14th or something like that. So I'm like, and this take like the first what? 20 minutes of the movie takes place in a day.
Yeah, something like that.
Where
it's pretty short time period overall, but
I want to say it's a week.
Yeah, tops.
In total.
Yeah.
Because you got Miss Togar, who becomes the new principal, and the old principal is just like shaking and like
they're feeding him soup.
He's in a wheelchair and in a straitjacket kind of, and okay, the humor of this movie. There's also something about comedy slapstick movies of this time period that all feel similar in a way.
Yeah, I feel like they all kind of run on this sort of like Mel Brooks type of formula, where he was always like throwing as many jokes as possible, so if they don't laugh at one, they'll laugh at the next one.
Right,
Like
and
it's
it's
just
all
throw in everything nonstop, keep it moving, and somebody will laugh at something.
I'm not gonna lie, I laughed out loud when Miss Togar did her little monologue about how rock music is bad, and she showed you the pictures of mice where there's like, this is the one mouse before rock music and then after rock music, the after picture, I was cackling, and then they carried that joke throughout,
Yeah,
and you're
and
like,
it's so stupid that
so
the
dumb.
mice explode and then suddenly there's human-sized mice and
Yes,
then
they, well, and one of them is actually affected, but he has,
he's got the earphones.
yeah, he got something to block the sound out. But then they use the same, I'm assuming they use the same suit, but dressed it up differently to play the mother mouse, which is so funny. That.
It makes no real sense, like logical sense, even within this heightened world of this movie where wacky things are
No.
happening all the time. That's still so much wackier than anything else that's happening. But they just go into it. They play it like Miss Togar plays it so straight that like you just kind of accept it like, yes, that is a fact of that world.
I love her. I know she's the villain. I know we're supposed to hate her. I fucking love her. I don't know this woman at all. Mary Woronov, I believe that's how you pronounce her last name.
Yeah, she minor B movie queen. She was in Eating Raoul, Chopping Mall, Night of the Comet. She did a lot of that kind of stuff in the
Oh,
70s and 80s.
okay.
And I think before her film career really took off, she worked a lot with Andy Warhol. Like she was like I don't know if she was officially a factory girl or not, but she was like part of that scene. So like she was established in the art world before she went to movies.
I feel like I may. Oh, she did Death Race 2000. I've seen her, the other movies that she's been in. I just don't know her.
Yeah.
And
Well,
I'm I.
and she her like makeup and hair in this movie is so severe
So severe,
that
and
like
like it's so put together so this way they can unravel it at the end. Also, what I don't know what came first, Miss Togar or the Trunchbull, because she was giving me some Trunchbully vibes, and I was like, but like, did Roald
Togar
Dahl de
came.
yeah, what?
I think Togar came first. I'm gonna. When was Matilda published? 88.
There we go. I mean, if she had a chokey, I would not have batted an eye. It seems like, you know, yeah, this is you would torture kids and, you know, find some sort of delight in it. But it, oh God, she was great. And then PJ Souls, who I love her in Carrie because she's the
Norma.
random friend. Well, for me, it's a random friend of Chris who wears a baseball cap the whole movie. And I was like,
Including the Under the Stars dance.
right. And you're like, that's a strong choice somebody made. But she and she plays our lead character, lead-ish. I don't wait, who is the lead of this movie?
Oh, it's Riff.
It's Riff.
Yeah, I would say Riff is our protagonist. Going back to a word that we've used before on this podcast, Kate is our deuteragonist. She gets a really solid B plot. And then the Ramones are side characters, but they help a lot in the back half.
Which is so weird that they are not top billed. Like, I would assume you would, because this is
It's kind
this.
of the selling point of the movie is that this is the Ramones movie.
Yeah, because it's because, but unlike other movies that bands have, like The Wall or Tommy, or I'm using those because I'm going through all things, and that's all I could come up with right now. But like, the Ramones aren't the leads, but they are. I feel like they should have been top billed because they were the most known people in this movie at this time. Like the Ramones in Rock and Roll High School, but I don't think I've
Right.
ever seen that on the poster or something.
It's also like because they're playing themselves, it's not like the Ramones as this fictional band that's just a fictional version of the Ramones. They're, I mean, they're kind of doing a little bit of like
Like
Happy
in
Days
Spice
Night
World.
or Spice World.
But Spice World, they're playing the heightened characters
Yeah.
of their spice
Exactly. But
persona, spice-ona, if you
yeah.
will.
So the Ramones are, they're kind of doing something like that here too, where they're playing heightened versions of themselves. They also don't get that many lines.
Yeah. Oh, God. So, okay. Glad
for
you
a
brought this
reason.
up.
A lot, I remember watching the DVD commentary for this way back in the day, and that always stood out to me that they had to talk about how many lines they had to cut out of the movie because the Ramones just couldn't do it.
Joey is the lead, right?
Yeah.
So, not Finn Wolfhard. He honestly, throughout the movie, I was just like, Finn should play him in a biopic.
That
I'm
would work.
calling it. I'm calling it now.
Yeah.
So when it happens, we can all say John said it on this date.
Yeah.
but it feels like he's just. Just loading it in a way. I'm going to say words
Rock
I
and
don't know.
roll high school.
Rock and roll high school. I don't know words. And
Yeah.
it's, I
Well,
mean, not
my.
to make fun of him, but like to make fun of him,
Right, right, right.
because it felt like the others felt a little more charismatic naturally. But they are not the leads. Well,
Right.
the one that was the bass player that was in the shower at one
Oh,
point.
that's Dee Dee Ramone, who. Here's a fun fact about the Ramones. When they first started, before they got a record deal, Dee Dee was actually the lead singer and Joey was the drummer. But they decided Joey had a better voice for the type of music they wanted to make, so they put him up front. Dee Dee just played bass, and then they hired Tommy Ramone to play drums for them. Tommy left after a couple of years. The drummer we see in this movie is Hold on, it's driving me. I can't think of Ronnie.
They're all brothers, or they're just related?
No, it's stage names.
Oh, okay.
There is a fun story too. One time, where an interviewer had asked Joey Ramone if they were related or if it was stage names, and Joey Ramone responded, "No, we just all met each other in an elevator one time and realized we had the same last name, so we started a band."
I love that.
Yeah.
I fuck. See,
I'm
that
so
is
sorry.
a.
It's not Ronnie Roan. It's Ricky Ramone. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. You got the R right.
They had so many drummers, and he's the only one of them who's still alive.
But they're forever immortalized in
No,
this
I
movie.
got it wrong again. It's Marky Ramone in this movie. I'm so sorry.
Man, you're there. It's like they're the Spinal Tap with the
I
drummers, you
know. Well,
know?
they had a lot of different band members throughout the years, but the classic lineup would be Joey, Johnny, Dee Dee, and either Tommy or Marky. That's like the classic lineup. So right before this movie was when Tommy was like, "I'm better as a producer. I'm just going to be a music producer. I'm going to step down as the drummer." And they hired Marky Ramone. So he's the drummer in this movie. I am so sorry.
Everyone is screaming, but now they're not screaming, but they're screaming because of the Ramones, you
Yes.
know?
So, but we were talking about Dee Dee Ramone before that.
Yeah, because I felt like, and then like the scene, the moment when the pizza came and they're all just chomping on pizza. I don't understand why Joey Ramone could not eat the pizza. I did not do any research or anything about that, but I was just like, what is happening?
Yeah. Well, that's a funny thing about what you were saying with Dee Dee having a lot of charisma and everything. He was very charismatic, but he had like real mush mouth. He was the one that they had to cut a lot of lines out because he just couldn't say it in a way that was like intelligible. So he has two lines in the final movie, pizza and yeah, pizza. Those are the two lines that he could say intelligibly.
Right, but he at least had physical humor.
He did, yes. He's got a great presence.
where Joey like was hidden behind all the hair and those giant glasses, which I know it's his look, I understand, but
That was
come
always
on.
kind of his thing. He was so tall and gangly and
He
not
was
what you would
hunched over a little
call,
bit, yeah.
yeah, you would not call him a traditionally handsome man. He became hot because he was a rock star. He was not hot.
Okay, that explains a lot then, because I'm just like, why? I don't find him attractive, you
No,
know?
he is not an attractive, he was not a very attractive man, except for the fact that he was a rock star. But like that was kind of always his stance. He always like looked like he was like trying to like hide in inside himself. Like
Yeah.
I think just because he was so tall and gangly, like he just always felt awkward.
And also for this movie, I don't know if I would consider it a musical.
Yeah, there's musical numbers.
There's musical numbers.
All of them are Ramones songs, but not all of them are performed by the Ramones.
Well, and then there's also other songs played throughout
Right.
from other bands.
Right.
Which, okay. First, let's start with the titular song, or the song that inspired the title of the movie, Rock and Roll High
Rock, rock,
School.
rock, rock and roll high
You
school.
hear it three times throughout the movie. The first time is in the opening when Riff plays it, and it's like, you know, that's what starts her and Miss Togar's war.
No, that's a different song. That's Sheena is a punk rocker.
I could have sworn that was Rock and Roll High School, because then later when she sings it, I was like, but you played it earlier. How are you?
No, she plays Sheena is a punk rocker,
My
which at the time of the movie,
apologies.
okay, no worries, no worries. They all kind of sound, I love the Ramones, all of their songs kind of sound the same.
Well, and the thing that also kind of bothered me is that they didn't sing Sedated during their set. I was like, this, I want to be sedated. Isn't that like their,
That's one of their big songs, yeah.
even at the time, like that was in 70, 79?
At the time, Sheena is a punk rocker was their biggest hit. They were popular in a very like countercultural sense. They were not chart toppers at all at the time. It was just like kids who are in the know, like the Ramones. And the
Got it.
closest they had to a real true hit was Sheena is a punk rocker. Since then, a lot of their other songs have become more popular because, you know, they're considered to be better or more emblematic of like the attitude that they had or whatever reason. And I would say these days their two most well-known songs are I Want to Be Sedated and
Let's
Blitzkrieg
Creek Bop, which, by the way,
Bop.
I didn't know that was the name of the song. Because when they sing it, I always sang "Let's Kick Butt." Because
I like that better.
that's what I heard.
Yeah.
It's a Smells Like Teen Spirit moment, you know, where you're like, I don't know what you're saying. Because I mean, and that happened in Teenage Lobotomy during their set. There's all of a sudden subtitles that popped up, and I was just like,
That one
for that
song.
one song. And you know me, I watch sub with subtitles everything, but like, oh, I'm like, what is happening? This movie is great. I love this movie.
It's
Thank you.
awesome.
Thank you for making me finally watch
You're
it.
welcome. I was really hoping, I thought you'd like it, but I was like, this could be
I'm
a big miss.
oh no, you know, all of that happening in the opening, and then all of a sudden I wrote 12 minutes in, I think I love this movie.
Yeah. And I love how it opens with like sort of the softness of like introducing Kate and Tom and like implying that there's going to be a romance between them before like they introduce Riff. And that just totally changed, like her introduction totally changes the energy of the movie.
Yeah,
Like
maybe
they.
now we should talk more about the movie itself instead of the Ramones. No offense to the Ramones, but like, there's kind of a story here, you know?
Yeah. There's a through line. They don't show up until what, like 30 minutes in at least.
Something like that. When they sing, I just want to have something to do.
Yeah.
Where I wrote down, why are they giving away a free performance? What are you doing?
They love their fans.
They do, but like, why? So we have Riff, our lead, PJ Souls, who is in love with the Ramones. She's obviously like a quote unquote bad student. You know, she gets detention all the time.
Yeah.
And she's like I mean, if it wasn't PJ Souls, I feel like she'd be the villain of the movie.
She coasts on a lot of charisma.
Yeah. And then she's best friends with Kate. Now, Kate is the polar opposite, but
Right.
also helps her out in the planning or the scheming and the planning and the executing plans and things like that.
Yeah, she doesn't break any rules herself, but she helps Riff break the rules.
I mean, she made a bomb, so
That's true. Yeah, I guess that's kind of a big thing. She's
which
really
again
into science, though.
I mean, I just wrote down, of course it ends with a bomb. Like, of course, it's a 70s movie. Of course it ends with a 70s comedy movie. Of course there's a giant explosion at the end. And then there's Tom. I don't like Tom. Tom's an asshole, in my opinion.
I like Tom. He's just a high
He's
schooler.
a golden retriever asshole. Because, well, at the
He just
when
wants to get laid.
he just wants to get laid, but also when we're you have Kate is a very attractive woman. I understand that you have like love and attraction and everything. Like he wants Riff, but like you have everyone's telling you date this one person, she's perfect for you, and he's like, no, I'm gonna go for a friend.
I just feel like it's very true to being a high schooler. And like, it's like 3 days that he goes from wanting Riff to wanting to be with Kate instead.
Well, and then and within those 3 days, Eagle Bauer,
Eagle
who
Bauer, Clint Howard.
I'm still not sure if he's a student or not.
No way to know.
No, or like he's like the Fonz where he has like his office in the bathroom, but he doesn't go to school anymore because he graduated 3 years ago.
Yeah, he's like McConaughey's character in Dazed and Confused.
Best thing about
He's just
teenage girls.
he just loves helping out teenage boys.
Yeah, but he sets them up. Has Tom and Kate do
Like a practice date.
practice date, but also it's not a practice. Like she thinks it's a date, but he doesn't. And it's
Yeah.
like, what do you think this is, Tom? Like, open up your fucking eyes. And then he friend zones her during that little concert thing, that concert moment. And I was just like, what is happening? Why are you friend zoning her? She's literally throwing herself at you. And then they make out at the end. And you're like, I don't.
He just needed to come around. He needed time to come around. I like Tom. I think he's a funny character. I think he's a very funny but sweet, like shockingly sweet portrayal of a horny teenage boy who like
Yeah, I mean, this movie was very like pre-Porky's, obviously, but
right.
also like so horny and terrible kids, but like you don't really see a lot.
Yeah, no, there's no like nudity
There's
or
no
anything like
boobs.
that. And like he could like when he's talking to the other girls and like trying to like hit on them and he's just nervous. He's not like being cre he kind of stares a little too long at the boobs but then like realizes his mistake. There's not like a real creep like a real incel factor to it, which I appreciate.
True, yes. I
And
also feel like Vincent Van Patten is the actor who played Tom. I feel like though he's more the straight man as opposed to like the comedic relief or something. You know how like he is funny, but I feel like he's more of like the serious person and everyone else is crazy around him. Because he
Yeah.
has, we need something, we need somebody to ground this movie. And it's gonna be
Yeah.
Tom.
I also love that he's like the star captain of the football team and he's like just so skinny.
Well, welcome to the 70s. I mean, I'm pretty sure that was it.
I
And
mean,
then
that's what like real life high school football players look like, but when you see them in movies and TV, they're like
33 years old and
right.
jacked and
Steroided up. Which brings me to my favorite character name in the movie, which is Coach Steroid.
who's only in the beginning, really?
Yeah, she
Because we have the
doesn't.
gay music teacher, Mr. McGregor, I believe that's his name.
Mr.
Mr.
McGree, yeah.
McGree, who converts to loving the Ramones.
He thinks they're the Beethoven of our times.
God. This guy is wild.
I love him.
He's
I wish
great.
I had a teacher like him.
He shows up to the concert and okay, so there's also, as much as we were praising the comedy, there's also some things that are a violent miss. Yeah, like not that it didn't age well, it's just like, why did you even write it back then? Like the scalper joke when it's a indigenous person.
And a war bonnet. Yikes.
Yikes. It's probably a white guy too.
Probably. We don't get a good look at his face.
I heard the joke and then I saw the costume and I went, oh no.
And then they have to bring it back up because it was so good. We needed a callback.
Because that's where Mr. McGree stood next to the Native American and the mouse. But like I feel like overall it's still a good movie. Yes, there's some things that didn't age well. Yes, there's some things that shouldn't have been there from the beginning. But honestly, I feel like you could watch it now and just be like, take some jokes with a grain of salt.
And like you watch any movie from that time period, there's
Oh.
gonna be something that did not age well.
Oh, of course, but with younger generations who are growing up in this like newer, we're discussing things that back in the 70s they definitely were not discussing.
No.
You got to be like, "Hey, child, this is funny, but like you're gonna not feel comfortable around some jokes, and that's okay. We're gonna call it out."
Yeah. I mean, people thought that like groping women was super funny back then, and we're honestly lucky there is not a lot of that in this movie.
The
And
Fritzes.
well, that's what I was gonna say. The only time it happens is with villains played for laughs, but like you're not supposed to think that they're good and cool for groping women. They're doing bad things, and you're supposed to think it's bad.
Fritz Hansel and Fritz Gretel. Where one of them, Fritz Gretel, kind of looks like Bobby Moynihan.
Yes, he does.
Moynihan to me. And I'm like,
Absolutely.
oh no. And then Fritz Hansel, is he writing a porn? What's going on?
That's what it sounds like. Like it's
Because it talks,
very purple erotica.
I have a feeling it's the same dialogue. Yes? Okay. I watched this a couple of days ago. My brain is starting to forget it, but it's like, I remember that it was like, and then he gently touched Susan's breasts or something like that. And you're like, what is
It's
this?
like, oh, my darling Evelyn, how I long to feel your luscious thighs wrapped around, and then they cut it off.
I wonder what the rest of it is now.
I know. Oh, I'm intrigued. But clearly, they're supposed to be creeps and
Yes.
losers, and we cheer when they get thrown out of a window
Like in a hamper.
in a hamper out of the second story.
Do you want to talk about money for a hot second?
Sure.
Because I just saw I wrote this down. So Riff buys tickets, right? She's waiting in line to go to the Ramones concert and everything. She buys 100 tickets for $1,000. That means tickets to a Ramones concert in 1979 was $10 each.
Oh, the best tickets, too.
The
She
best
specifically asks
tickets.
for the best tickets,
And I'm
which I'm
like,
sure at that venue they're all the same. It's all pit.
but still, I'm like, $10?
I know. I know. I wanted to rip my hair out when I heard that.
That she just gives the tickets away. And you're like, girl, let's talk about profits. Making a profit. You know, you bought them for $10, sell them for $15, and make a $5 profit each ticket. Thank you very much.
Well, I think for at least some of the kids had given her $10 to buy tickets for them.
Oh, okay. So she's the
Yeah,
one who
she
waited
yeah,
at...
because they all couldn't cut class.
because their parents are still alive and they're goldfish.
Right.
This movie's just so much fun. I gotta say, like, honestly, it was, I had no idea what I was going for. I think I was hoping for like a little more of like a fame feeling to it, because it's called Rock and Roll High School. So I'm like, okay, maybe it's about School of the Arts, or they're starting a band or something.
Camp Rock.
Camp Rock. Yeah. Hoo-wah.
Well,
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to talk about? I know we're kind of like, we're glossing over a lot of things, but a lot of the things I wrote down, it's like very specific. And, you know, I'm like, we don't have time to talk about everything.
yeah. I mean, we talked a lot about the Ramones. I'm not going to bore people with more of their backstory and everything. Just know that at the time of this movie, Sheena Is a Punk Rocker was their biggest hit. So that's why the movie opens with that. But yeah, there's not much. I mean, it's a great example of a Roger Corman production, just like low budget, throw everything at the wall, and it's gonna work somehow.
And it did.
And it did. And that's how all of his, well, a lot of his movies were. I don't, have you talked about Roger Corman on this podcast before?
No, and I think this is a good segue to talk about Roger Corman if
Yeah.
you want to for a few.
Well, I don't want to spend too much time. He recently passed away. And you can find a lot of, I don't want to spend too much time eulogizing him because there's already a lot of that on the internet, especially on film podcasts and everything. Just the impact that he had on movie making in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and how many other filmmakers he gave a chance to.
I
He
mean,
really.
we did bring him up because he wrote Little Shop.
Oh, yeah. He did the original Little Shop that the musical is based off of.
Well, yes, and then he's credited
Okay, for the
for the
musical.
musical,
Oh,
obviously.
okay. Yeah, but this is just such a great example of when they blow up the high school. Obviously, blowing up a building is going to cost a lot of money. So, what did they do? They found a building that looked like a school that was going to be demolished anyway. And they filmed right outside of that and set off even more explosives than were originally planned and had some of the neighbors living in that neighborhood quite upset at the noise.
Oh, I can imagine, because it was a massive
Yeah,
explosion.
it's huge. But you know, they did what they had to do to get the movie to work. A lot of this, I know they were just sort of throwing out ideas and had to change it on the spot. I know the original idea for this movie was actually Disco High School or something like that.
But
And it
disco
was
was dead at this time, so they had to rework it.
And punk was just sort of starting to become a real movement that was gaining traction outside of these like small circles. So, well, let's hop on that. That's the new form of rock and roll that's really starting to come out.
Sorry,
They
I
did
was trying
think,
to scroll through, see if we did other
oh, okay.
movies of his. But he has
A lot of credits.
491 producing credits and two are upcoming.
Yeah.
Well, because one of them is Little Shop of Halloween Horrors, and another one is called Crime City, that both are in pre-production. So
Oh, okay.
But he's
Yeah,
gonna,
and
I mean, hey, even in the grave, he's gonna be making the royalties for a little shop because everyone's doing it now, it feels
yeah,
like.
whoever like runs his estate has got to be like rolling in it. But yeah, his impact on movie making, he also just was like a great example in general of how to make a movie on a very short schedule, on a very tight budget, and still have it be something interesting to watch. Because I wouldn't say that a lot of his movies are good in the sense that, like, The Godfather is good.
Right.
Although, incidentally, he did give Francis Ford Coppola his first directing job. But anyway, so he is responsible in a way for The Godfather. But his movies are highly entertaining. And it's really, really fucking hard to make a movie that's watchable. And it's that much harder when you don't have a budget or a schedule to work with. And he was like, in his own way, he was really a genius for that. And then one other thing I wanted to say about a way that they saved money on this movie was PJ Souls, because she was an established actress at this point. Because I think this is post Carrie and
It is.
Halloween.
Oh, that's
She,
right. She was in Halloween as well.
Scream Queen, love her.
Literally, post both of them because Carrie was 76, Halloween is 78, and this is
Okay, the
79.
79. So PJ Souls, her usual paycheck was too much for the movie's budget. So what they negotiated was that she got to buy and personally keep all of Riff Randall's costumes throughout the movie.
Okay. So we talk a lot about you and I have talked a lot about clothes and everything. There are some things of hers I liked and some things of hers I didn't like. Like when Kate wore her outfit to the club
Oh yeah.
with the polka dot cape and that belt that did all the whiz banging boom boom. And I was just like, why
Yeah,
didn't
I
the
don't
belt?
understand it.
I don't understand it, but I thought the belt was going to come back and it didn't. And I was very upset.
If it was gonna like somehow help stop Angel Dust or something, Angel Dust
Fuck
being the
Angel Dust.
groupie
Fuck Angel Dust. How dare
who
she?
just antagonizes Riff the whole time.
For no reason.
Yeah, that outfit makes no sense to me. But I will say, for everything else she wears throughout the movie, even the pieces I didn't like so much, I was like, there is a personal style here, and it all feels like it
Yes.
fits onto the same character. So it really makes sense.
Yeah, the red outfit that she, I feel like that's the one that she wears the longest.
Which red
Maybe
outfit?
the one with the red and black striped
Oh, yeah.
the
And like the little.
unitard
Yeah.
with the illest red sunglasses with the lightning coming off of them.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I loved them. I was like, yes, queen. But like,
Everything, all of the silk jackets she wears in this movie, I want all
so
of them.
good. I actually have one more question before we get into Sharp and Flat,
Okay.
because it was something that I was thinking about. When the Ramones sing I Want You Around, oh well, and she puts it on the record and then you see the Ramones playing.
And she tokes up.
Is she masturbating to the song?
I think she is.
Okay.
I think
Because
that's.
we see a whole fantasy sequence of her going into the shower, and like we said, what's his butt?
He's there.
Dee's in the shower, and then which drummer did we land on? Marky?
Marky.
Marky's outside her window playing the
Right.
drums. So I'm like, girl, is this a sex dream? What are we doing here?
She's very stoned, I can say that.
Well, at
So
first I thought it was a cigarette that she was lighting, and then I was like, "Oh
I.
no,
No.
no."
No,
But
no, no.
Riff as a character has like free rein. It feels
Yeah,
like
where are her parents?
where? I guess they're not in the crowd at the end, you know. I
Right.
Miss Togar at the end listening to the concert on the radio, and I'm like, shouldn't you be concerned about blowing up? Like you had this whole thing with the mice. So imagine humans, like, wouldn't we blow up in theory? Isn't that the correlation that you're trying to make with the speech? I don't know.
It makes no sense. It runs on its own logic, and that's part of what makes it work.
And everyone should watch this movie if you haven't already, is what we're
Yes.
saying. All right, let's get into Trapped in Flat, shall we?
Let's do it.
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. I want to start with flats because I don't really have that many flats, but I do have
Oh,
some.
good. Me neither.
Yes.
And they're probably mostly the same.
Well, okay. So I first flatted Tom for being a douche because there's some moments where he's a douchebag and you're
You know
like,
what? I respect that opinion.
the staring at the boobies.
Yeah.
Douchebag.
Sure.
Yeah. The scalper joke.
Yeah.
You know, super
That was
flat
my
that
big
one.
one. That's my big flat.
And also, while we're at it, the body searches. Yay! Like, oh my God. Why? Why did we ever think that was okay to, yes, sexually harass women? Why does anyone think that's okay? And then my last flat, which it's just a problem with staging, I think. During, ooh, Do You Want to Dance? When they're like taking over the high school and everything, and the Ramones are playing through the halls and everything. I'm flatting the fact that Riff is helping Mr. McGree strip because she's a student
Yeah.
and he is a teacher. It's not like Riverdale Miss Grundy, you know, she's being super
Right.
young or anything. He
It
is
is
old enough.
right. And it's played very innocently. It's not played like she's sexualizing him at all. She is
No, but
helping him let
it's
loose.
but it still feel I feel a little
Yeah,
icky.
it's icky.
Yeah. That's why I'm flatting it, because I was just like,
Yeah.
ooh, this is a little bit of an ick.
Yeah. And it would be one thing if she just like helped him take his jacket off, but she's like tearing his pants.
Right. Yes. Or like helping with the shirt and everything. And you're like, what was the conversation? Was there a conversation on set? I guarantee there wasn't one. But, and I know PJ Souls is not a high school, of high
Right.
school age at this time. She's probably what, late 20s, maybe 30 at this point. Who
Close to
knows?
it. Yeah.
But it's like, what is happening here? Did you have any flats?
So I was mostly going to say the same, the scalping, the stripping Mr. McGree. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Those are the
Okay.
only two for me.
Not the body searches?
The
Well, because
you
we
know
don't
what?
see it, but it's still the fact that it's heavily implied, and they're
Yeah.
so horny.
Yeah. I'm going to give it something of a pass because they are the villains. And it's not
Okay.
played like this is a cool thing to do. It's played like, no, this is bad. I think you could argue that like the second one, the when they body search Angel Dust, that
Oh.
you know what? You know what? Yeah, I'm going to flat that because that's like, oh, that's what she gets for being such a bitch. And it's
She
like,
gets the other villains to fondle her.
yeah.
Gross. I can't
I
believe I just
wouldn't,
said that.
yeah. I would have liked to see just a different and maybe
Like
more impactful.
a more of a comeuppance.
Yeah, something that feels earned for what she's done to Riff up to that point.
Yes.
Which
Yeah.
isn't really that much except try to steal her song, but like she's a bitch. We don't like her.
We don't like her. Okay, so sharps. Most of the comedy, because it's so silly and so slapstick and so
Yeah.
everything.
And most of it aged quite well.
Yes, good majority of it, because it's stupid stuff. Like when in Do You Want to Dance, or earlier in the movie with the pictures rotating, or like the picture that I think I sharped them. Yeah, the framed pictures. I sharped them because they were so funny. There's a lot of little jokes in them, you know, and like when Eagle Bauer pulls down the chart and you're like, that's insane. This is day
Yeah.
one for Miss Togar. She says it 7,000 times. This is my first day as principal. And you're like, yeah, and a lot of shit has happened. So
I
it's
love just the fact that it's called Vince Lombardi High School. I think is really funny, and that's who they have pictures of all over the place. Vince Lombardi being a legendary football coach. He coached the
Okay,
Green
I was
he,
like, I know this name. How
yeah.
do
He coached the Green Bay Packers to the first two ch Super Bowl championships.
I? Ooh.
But unless like it's in Green Bay, Wisconsin, I don't know why you would name your school after him.
For funsies,
Just for funsies.
they were Green Bay fans that don't live in Green Bay.
Yeah, we also don't know where it ex it this could be taking place anywhere, but it's January and it's not snowing, so I'm going to say not Wisconsin.
It could be, it, they could be, they could have been predicting Mother Nature, or they probably, the props person probably didn't, or they didn't give the props person enough information
Yeah, they
when
just didn't
they
really
wrote the
care.
notes. Yeah.
They were like, it doesn't matter.
I also sharped Mary Woronov, our Miss Togar, because she understood the assignment. She knew exactly what she was in. She had every choice made was perfect for that
Yes.
character. I also sharped the gay freshman. I also sharped the magic paper airplane. Again,
Another.
such a stupid, stupid joke, and I gave it its own because it lasted a while, and you're like,
Yeah.
this is so dumb. The payoff is amazing still, because you have Fritz Gretel in the wind opening up the window to receive the paper airplane that he threw like a minute ago.
Yeah. There was no purpose to it at all.
I didn't fucking care. I was laughing
Yeah.
at that as well. Sharp to Riff's red sunglasses.
All
They're so
right.
fly.
Oh,
Another sharp to the giant rocker mouse and Mrs. Mouse. Same costume question mark, but still the joke was hilarious.
yeah. It's a
And
good costume, too.
yeah, oh yeah.
I wonder
It
if Joe Dante had anything to do with that, because he
well
did a lot of.
there was a special credit, I didn't write it down, for the person who designed and created the mouse costume.
Good.
Rob Botten is the giant mouse creator.
Okay.
He does a lot of makeup, it looks like. He did the original Total Recall makeup and the original
Ah.
The Thing.
Oh,
Well, sorry.
shit.
Sorry, not the original, the
The
1982 The
yeah.
Thing.
John
So,
Carpenter.
John Carpenter, yes.
Okay. Wow.
He also was on the makeup department for Seven and the original RoboCop. He's still working. He's still around. I don't know. He doesn't have a lot of. Last thing on his IMDb is special effects makeup uncredited for Game of Thrones for one
Oh,
episode.
cool.
Yeah. And then my last sharp. Okay, this is dumb. This is so dumb. I'm sharpening the one banner with the Ramones name spelled incorrectly and then corrected in a different color. Because somebody spelt it. Romanes, and then in one color, and then you see like somebody flipping in like I want to say it's like written in red, and then in blue, somebody wrote RAMO. It's so dumb. It's the dumbest thing. I think it was an honest mistake. Honestly, it's so like perfect, I guess,
Yeah.
that it feels like it can't. I don't, unless, you know, the props department got it right, there was a conversation about that one, just not the
Right.
dates.
But yeah, no, it does seem like, somebody in the props department didn't know the band name properly. And then they were like, you know what? We could make this work.
Romance? Yeah. Romains? Yeah. I know the Romains.
Yeah. Lettuce.
Nice. Let us be sedated. What were your sharps?
So my big one is I love the friendship between Riff and Kate. I love that they're such
Yes.
opposites, but like still so supportive of each other. You know, even they almost set up a thing where when Tom asks Riff out and she says yes, you know, they're setting up like, oh, there's going to be a rift between them now. And then she's like, no, I did that so that we could go on a double date and we can like switch around. Like she did it for Kate,
And
which I.
it's such the easy way out, especially with movies these days. I don't know how it was back then, but high school movies these days, Riff would have been the Regina George in that moment. Be like,
Right. Yeah. There would
I
have
thought he's
been.
hot.
Yeah. Or there would have been like some sort of. There's always a third act falling out between friends. And then we have to learn this, the spirit of friendship over again. And I like that. No, they don't have that. They just are good friends the whole time. I also love that like they're both very career oriented in their own ways. Riff has this ambition to be a songwriter, and Kate is very into science and is obviously going to be a chemist or something like that when she grows up.
She made a bomb in a high school chemistry lab.
She sure did.
And
Get her in the CIA.
to piggyback off of what you're saying as well, I think they lift each other up as well. It feels
Yeah.
like that. Where although Kate tried to take the fall for Riff in the opening with the playing of the rock music and everything, she's always not questioning, and she's like, "Yeah, I'll hand in your notes to Miss Togar about, your dead family that are not dead."
Yeah, they don't have like little petty arguments over it.
And then your example of, us thinking at first, "Oh shit, there's gonna be some drama or something," and it's like, no. Riff understands that her best friend has a crush on a guy, even though at the moment the guy doesn't feel the same way about her best friend, but Riff is still just like, no, we're gonna make it work and we have a plan. And then
Right.
they
This is our
throw that plan
opening.
out anyway because they're gonna go, they won tickets to the concert.
Right. It all comes to nothing.
Yes.
I also like, I love that they both have like clear career goals or something like that laid out in front of them, but are also both like, you know, sexually active or like wanting to be sexually active without that being stigmatized or, you know, made gross. You know, that the movie's not like sexualizing them or anything, but it also understands that they have drives of their own.
Did Riff admit to having sex? I don't remember that.
I don't know if she ever like says that she's sexually active, but like, you know, she's clearly pining after Joey Ramone
True.
in a very sexual way.
And
And
potentially
then,
masturbating in that one scene.
right. And
Using
then,
metaphor, visual metaphor.
exactly, the power of cinema. And then Kate, you know, explicitly says that she is interested in having sex at some point with
Right, because
Tom.
she goes to see Eagle Bower.
Right. And I like that that is neither stigmatized nor made gross by the filmmakers. It's just accepted as a fact of this is what teenage girls are like. And it also doesn't interfere with them also wanting to be creative or be scientific or do anything that might lead to a career beyond just bagging a man.
I love that scene, by the way, where she goes to visit Eagle Bower in the bathroom. Cause she you see her walk into the boys' room and somebody just shouts, "Girl," or whatever, "girl entering." And all the boys are still in line, but with
Right.
their eyes, their hand over their eyes, and you're like, "That's not gonna help you, boo-boo." But okay, whatever you need to do.
Right. There's also Eagle Bower has a fully grown woman secretary who works in the boys' room all the
Sure
time,
does.
and they have no problem with that.
Sure. I mean, she's also not a fellow student, so that's probably why. Do
Well,
you think she's a teacher? Or like
ooh.
the main office secretary that he borrows for
I think
business?
that's more likely than a teacher. Or like a lunch lady, maybe, you know, during
Oh my
non-lunch
God, we didn't even
hours.
talk about the food fight
Oh, the
that.
firing squad.
Oh my God, there's so much to honestly, there's too much to say in a whole episode. Everyone just watch this movie.
Yeah,
Any other
100%.
sharps?
Well, that was the big one. Also, I will sharp the set design. I think the art design all around is really strong.
Yeah.
I think the movie, for as low budget as it is, and for like such a wacky movie, it looks really beautiful and really interesting.
I didn't realize this was a low budget film. I just thought it was the 70s. So,
No, they
no,
use their budget really well.
yeah, because, like, you know, there's a lot of shit in Riff's room as set deck. The high school, probably they probably really could only use like a corridor, but still it made it look bigger.
And
Granted, we
like
also didn't go into classes, so like
But like Eagle Bauer's office looks so cool, and like that's not already in a high school. They had to design that.
I feel like that whole like the boys' room door and then the bathroom and then Eagle Bauer's office are all just sets. I don't
Yeah.
think
Yeah, I
that
don't think
doesn't
they
seem
sh
like that's from a high school or something.
Right. I also love that during I Just Want to Have Something to Do, when the Ramones are singing in the car while all the fans are waiting to get tickets, giving away a free show.
Give it away, free show, man.
They recruited actual Ramones fans as the extras in that scene,
That makes sense.
which you
Because
can tell. There's some real punk rockers in there, some real grody late 70s punk rockers getting into it. And I think the filmmakers were not exactly prepared for, those two girls who are like strangling each other. They weren't prepared for that type of activity from their extras, but it works so well. It adds so much texture to the movie. And
honest.
what a cool experience for those Ramones fans to be like, I get to see my favorite band perform a song and be in a movie.
Right. And then also, but like I was expecting the fight that broke out with the extras to happen with Riff and Angel Dust. Just like, pull her hair. Kick her ass, Riff.
And then I'm also going to sharp real quick the rest of the soundtrack, even beyond the Ramones stuff. I think it has a really great soundtrack for
Yeah,
late 70s rock.
when I generated the outline, I went to Wikipedia, and Wikipedia tells me what's on the soundtrack, and then there's other songs repeat appearing in the film include, and then as well as the following songs from the Ramones, and I'm just like, when I there's a whole list I have of like no idea when these happen. I have no idea when these songs come into play. But then there's also diegetic and non-diegetic, and I was just like, fuck everybody. I don't know what's going on. It was a fun time watching.
Was.
And speaking of songs, would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist?
What an interesting question for this movie, because most of the songs are Ramon songs that are just the original production. So it's not even like it's like, oh, a new performance of it. So a lot of the songs were already there.
Great.
But I will say this movie gives me a greater appreciation for I Want You Around. And then High School by MC5 is one that stands out for me from the rest of the non-diegetic soundtrack that I really like. And Riff's performance of Rock and Roll High School, which in the movie they were inspired. They said on the DVD commentary that they were specifically inspired by the barn raising scene from Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Shut up.
And once you hear that, you will not unsee it. It makes it. So much of it clicks into place once you hear that, like just the costuming and the gymnastics all over the place.
That makes sense now. Because that's a highly choreographed dance sequence, and
In
it's
a movie
like,
that does not have that anywhere else.
right. And the fact that it's like the one true musical moment of this movie, which I was a little upset. I kind of wish we got more of that. Like an across the universe or something
Yeah, just a
of,
couple more numbers sprinkled in
I
here.
mean, if we're gonna have the Ramones, obviously they're gonna sing or lip sync to their stuff. But like, give Kate a song. Maybe give Eagle Bauer a song. I would love to hear Eagle Bauer rock out I Want to Be Sedated. Like, I think that would, I feel like that one would fit him.
I see that.
But then also there's a lot of things that they did with the lyrics that they did the literal thing. Like in what is that one? I'm sorry, I don't know the song titles as well as you do. I just want to have something to do. It starts off with him talking about eating a chicken leg, and he actually has a
Eating
chicken leg.
chicken vindaloo, and then he's eating chicken.
Yeah, and I'm like, we did it. Did we need this? Like, it's already cool that you're driving in a car. Like, the car is cool. You're cool. Your singing is cool. We don't need you to be funny, like have a gag. Just be cool. Be the Fonz.
I think it's that one stupid little moment. It's like the giant mice to me. I love it because it's stupid.
I mean, I know it's stupid, but I'm still just like, there's a lot of things, literal translations of you doing something.
It's a little much.
I wrote down Rock and Roll High School. I'll take any version of it, honestly.
Right.
The Ramones medley, I copped out because I didn't want to write all of them, but like I liked all those songs that they played at the club. Which, okay, fuck it, I'll just announce it. Which were, hold on, let me find it. Blitzkrieg Bop, Teenage Lobotomy, California Sun, Pinhead. Why have a pinhead on stage? I digress. And then She's the One. And then I also will add, Do You Want to Dance? Fuck it, I'll add I Want to Be Sedated as well. Technically, it is a diegetic song,
Yeah.
so.
Yeah. No, these are all, I'm agreeing with all of yours because they are songs that were already in my life's playlist. So like I didn't know if I should list them here or not. Like I watched this movie because I had already liked all of those songs.
And they're from different albums, I'm assuming.
Yeah, there's some from Road to Ruin. What's Greek Bop from? I'll think of it. Or I won't think of it. It doesn't matter.
It's a single, I'm seeing.
I think it's on Rocket to Russia. I think that's the album it
I'm
appears
sorry.
on.
I'm seeing it's just the Wikipedia page for the song.
Okay.
And
Oh, okay.
it was released in February 76, recorded a month earlier.
I know Rocket to Russia is the one with
From
Sheena as a firecracker.
the album Ramones.
Oh, okay. Self-title.
Yeah.
Great. Great. Make it simple.
Yes.
But yeah, and then Sheena is a punk rocker, I know is on Rocket to Russia. And then I think Road to Ruin was the album that they had released just before this movie. So some of those songs are in it too. I think that is the album. That's the one you see most at the album burning with the big yellow font.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's Road to Ruin. So yeah, they've got a couple of different albums mixed in there.
Okay.
And then they put Rock and Roll High School on their next album after this movie. And I think it was the lead single. I'm not sure.
Ooh. Well, I mean, it probably should have been. It
Probably should
should
have been.
have been.
Yeah.
Not saying it was, but it should have been because they had this movie as a vehicle for it.
Right.
But anyway, Shady, we're done with the episode. Woo! We did it!
We did it. And I only forgot one person's name five times.
It's okay. You went through their roster.
I got there eventually.
You got there. But what do you have to plug or promote?
So I started a new podcast with my sister over the summer. It's really stupid, but if you want to listen to it, it's called I Love the 90s. And it is an episode by episode recap of the VH1 series I Love the 90s.
Now you gotta, I'm assuming the Ramones were mentioned in I Love the 70s when they did that.
Yeah, they had to have been. I'm pretty sure they were.
So you're gonna, when you do I Love the 70s, I love the 70s.
Ooh, we might do that. We
Well,
wanted to do the 90s because that's the decade that we actually experienced. But like, if we get bored next summer, we might do one of the other, 80s or 70s.
yeah. It's
And
fun.
then, yeah. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at Cookie O Shady. And
What kind of dessert are you today, Shady?
I am a.
Can I give you one? I think I have it. You are a sugar cookie decorated with music stuff. So your sugar cookies with
Ooh.
music ice royal icing, like the music
Yeah.
notes or like, a
Like a record.
record. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's what I am. That's the kind of cookie I am.
Yeah.
And then on Instagram, I think I'm also Cookie O'Shady. I don't
Yes,
know.
you are.
I'm never on Instagram.
I know I keep tagging you and stuff. It's great.
Thank you for that.
And if you, I don't know, we didn't really have that many questions throughout this episode. If you actually saw the movie, let me know. Let me know if you what you thought of our little discussion about it. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. Also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads at buttersongpod. What Ramon song do you think should have been added into this movie at the
Ooh.
time of this film being made? So let's say like 1979, just to. Yeah, if there's one song, because like I said, I'm a little upset that they didn't sing, using that term loosely. I want to be sedated, and this is for the listening audience too. So Shady, you don't have to come up with an answer right this second.
Okay. Trying to think of what came out before 79. Trying to think of what's on what record.
It's okay. It's okay. When you re-listen to the episode, you can use the socials to get back at me or text me. And if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, well, we're going to be discussing the TV special Free to Be You and Me. Well, Shady, thank you so much for coming back on with a banger of an episode or banger of a movie, I should say. We had a banger episode. Let me real.
I had fun. I had a lot of fun. I'm really, really glad that you love this movie as much as I do.
Oh my God, it's so stupid for the most
It's
part.
great. It's
Yeah.
a go-to comfort watch for me.
It might be for me too. Yeah. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening and bye for now.
Special thanks to Aaron Troy for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.